Today on Real Radio.
Now the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers, for what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? In other words, people of Babylon, get out. And what communion has light with darkness? Get out. And what accord does Christ have with Belial? Get out. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Get out of it. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Out with the idols. For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me a son and a daughter, says the Lord. Is that pretty clear?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 18, where we are told of yet another messenger. This one proclaims, Babylon the Great is fallen. We've been studying the use of this term, Babylon, here in Revelation, and one point our teacher has been making clear is that there exists more than one Babylon. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand.
Babylon has fallen. I want to remind you about something regarding the system that has made it together. These two Babylons in concert are like a single coin with two faces. Remember that? You've seen this now for, I think, 3 weeks. Keep this in mind. Allow me to point this out to you this way. You're looking at the euro. This is a Greek euro from its member, Greece. To the left, you see the woman riding the beast. To the right, you see the European Union. Now watch this. Allow, everybody, take a deep breath, please. You got to get this. Let it out. Okay, you ready for this? It shouldn't be strange for us in our own economy and in this economy, that symbolism is important. Does anybody know how many stars, for example, we have in our flag in the United States? 50. Does anybody know how many stripes we have in our flag? Huh? What's the 13 for? The original colonies. Very good. Symbolism is important. Okay? Over here. In fact, let's just count the stars. I haven't done this in advance. I'm just guessing here right now. I could be dead wrong. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Is it 11 or 12? 12 stars. 12 stars. That's interesting. Symbolism. But watch this. Ladies and gentlemen, are we not looking at currently a currency that is very active in the world right now? Will you look at that? Is it not active in the world? Does it not cost you $1.31 to buy 1 euro as of today? Yes. That is quickly becoming the most powerful currency on the planet, second only right now to the United States, and it's changing rapidly. I told you last week 37 of the 65 central banks of the world have divorced themselves from the US dollar and have embraced now the euro. You are currently looking at not only current money of Europe, but the currency of the future, right in front of your face. This is in circulation today. However, what are we talking about? We're talking about a woman riding a beast. Speaks about the past. We're talking about over here on the right-hand side, the European Union. Why are people mentioning it as and referring to it as the reunification of Europe? Because Europe was once unified. Hello? It's being reunified. You can't be reunified unless you were once unified. When was the last time? I'm not going to answer the question. You've got to answer it. When was the last time Europe was unified? Good. Roman Empire. On this coinage, you have modern-day currency that is both good now, very powerful now, and it's going to get more powerful, and it's speaking to the future. You have symbols on here that date back thousands and thousands of years ago. First of all, the right-hand side goes back to the times of B.C., nearly 600 B.C., out to about 300 A.D. or so. Keep that in mind, okay? The woman riding the beast, Europa and Zeus, or depending on what culture you're studying, Europa and Jupiter. Ancient religions of Babylon. You have on the screen represented a religious system, right? Revelation 17. You've got a economic system represented on the screen, Revelation chapter 18, don't you? And currently, we have the spirit or system of the Babylonianism working right now for us by way of this being current usable currency. Don't you find that as a doubter? If you're not a believer in the Bible, what in the world are you believing in? This is extremely accurate to the point that this goes out to the future. It's so accurate. It covers the past, and it's happening now. The woman, the beast, the European Union, and its currency are all represented right here. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19. Isaiah 13, 19 says, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never again be inhabited, nor will anyone settle in it from generation to generation." Has that happened yet? No. Nope. That's Isaiah 13, 19. The third consideration under this point, what Babylon will come to know, is that its end is near because Babylon lives in idolatry. Idolatry is nothing new to it. For all the nations, verse 3, that is the nations of the world, have drunk of the wine of her wrath, the fornication. The kings of the earth, the political rulers of the earth, have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. No time to get into this now, but I'll just paraphrase it quickly. Matthew 6, 24, Jesus said you can only serve one of two masters, either God or money. Our coinage, by the grace of God still to this hour, says, "In God we trust." I encourage you to do a little bit of research as to why we put "In God we trust" on our coins. You will be blessed by the answer. It was declared by the government to do it, and you'll read about why they did it, and it's a blessing. I don't know if it's still true today, but it was a blessing to read. James chapter 5 warns us that in the last days, people will choose money over God, and they'll hoard up for themselves gold for the last days. And the Bible says destruction will come, and your gold will be worth nothing. In fact, it says it will even begin to consume your flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil." And by loving money more than God, it says those who have done so have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Is it wrong to be wealthy? No. Is it wrong to invest money? No. Is it wrong to be wise with money? No. It's God's money. Be wise with it. Is it, though, wrong to depend upon it, lean on it, trust on it, make it your comfort? Let me ask you, let me put it to you this way, and maybe the answer is not knowable until we're in that condition, but are you trusting in money more than you are in God? There's only one way to find out. If you take away your God, if you take away the God of the Bible, if you throw away your Bible, if you burn it, if you stop going to church, what does that do to your life and lifestyle? How about this? If we take away money, burn it, throw it away, divorce yourself from it, how does that affect your lifestyle and your existence? Which one in your life is more important? Which one in your life do you need? Is it God or is it God? Is it God with the big G the Lord of heaven and earth, who will save your soul for all time and eternity? Or is it the little g God, who makes you all kinds of promises, but the Proverbs of Solomon says, watch out, when you put your trust in money, it will sprout wings and fly away. It's pretty graphic, isn't it? Be careful. Point number two in our study this morning, en route to Babylon, mankind's final stand, what Babylon will come to know is that God is just, verses 4-7. That God is just. In verses 4-7, we look first of all at verses 4 and 5, and there we see what Babylon will come to know is that God is just this way, in that God is just to the believer. They will have his appeal in those days. There will be believers, isn't it amazing, in the land of Babylon. And for that matter, let's just make it broader. We can take that liberty. There'll be believers in the world. Tribulation saints, those who have come to faith in Jesus after the rapture and after the tribulation began. But specifically in the land of Iraq, there will come believers, and we know they'll live there. We know they'll be there because God says so himself right here in verses 4 and 5. Remember what I said earlier? Do you remember how many Christians that we've heard about now living in Iraq? 50,000 believers have come forward since the king of Babylon has been removed. Keep that in mind. I heard another voice from heaven, verse 5, saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. In other words, I'm going to judge this place. Get out. Does that remind you of someone? When God told Lot, get out of here. Get out of here. I can't destroy this place until you're out of here. Remember that? Lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. Verse 5. For her sins have reached heaven. Will you mark this? This is awesome. Please. So exciting. Verse 5. For her sins have reached heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. It's not that he forgot. He knows all about it. This voice that we hear now is none other than the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Come out of her, my people. This is the voice of deity. This is not the angel speaking. This is the Lord himself. I love this. Church, will you jot this down, because it plagues life? It plagues your life. It plagues my life. And we've got to raise up a standard against it on all counts. As a church doing business, a church does business. Yes, churches have to buy copier machines and reams of paper. Did you know that? The church has got to deal with city water bills and electric bills. Did you know that? People have this concept, the church should never be involved in business. Well, I got news for you. We have to pay our bills just like you do. Thus, we are involved in business. How do you think this place got built? With contracts and companies. Okay, you with me? How do you get your house built? How do you pay your bills? If you need a fax machine at home, what do? You go down to wherever you go, and I can't mention, because then somebody will say, well, how come you didn't mention my store? That store, your store. Somebody will go down to your store and buy the machine. That's a contract. You install it, and you deal with business, don't you? There's no doubt about that. Well, what about relationships? Do we not, as Christians, deal with non-believers every day? The tough part as a church is that we deal with people who say they're believers and are not believers. Hey, I'd like to sell you this turbocharged copier machine. Oh, we're Christians. Okay. Maybe, maybe not. I wish you wouldn't have said that. But people will declare they're believers and maybe, maybe not. We all have to deal with it. But what about relationships? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God says, come out, my people. And here in the book of Revelation, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What's at the end of the S? Anybody? What's there? Oh, come on. Is there an exclamation point? Is it a comma? What is there in your Bible? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, period, says the scripture. What does that mean? Does that mean I can't buy the copier machine but from the non-believer? It doesn't mean you're not supposed to buy the copier machine from the unbeliever. If he's got the better deal, buy it from him. If he's good, if he's a better servicer, then buy it from him. It has nothing to do with not buying it from him. It has to do with you getting involved in a relationship or situation whereby you leverage yourself or whereby you position yourself, granting them control over your life, i.e., what I'm driving toward is in a worship experience. You don't involve Babylonianism in with the worship of God. Didn't we study that last week? And you do not involve yourself with someone who is not of the Lord in personal matters. Personal, by that I mean, not necessarily business. I'm talking about a woman marrying a non-believer man. A believing man marrying a non-believing girl. I don't know how it happened. That person was a non-believing wife before she was your wife. She was a non-believer fiance. Before she was a non-believing fiance, she was a non-believer girl. And you went, wow, I'm choosing her beauty over the fact that she's not a believer. I'll take her cuteness over her Christianity that is not. Are you with me? And then you come in for counseling wondering why. And what are you going to do? You're now, oh, a year later, she's sleeping with all the guys in the office. How did this ever happen? When that comes to my office, I go like this. What am I supposed to say? Well, I thought if I married him, he'd become a Christian. Oh, yeah, evangelism 101. Marry him, and they become a Christian. Now, the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers, for what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? In other words, people of Babylon, get out. And what communion has light with darkness? Get out. And what accord does Christ have with Belial? Get out. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Get out of it. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Out with the idols. For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me a son and a daughter, says the Lord. Is that pretty clear? Many problems we have in relationships is because we just flat out blew God off. I don't want anything to do with your counsel. Every time I look at her, I get all excited. I get goosebumps. I gotta have her. And you sound just like Samson. And then you get her, and she cuts your hair off. And you lose all your strength. And you find yourself with your eyeballs gouged out, being alienated from God and man. Watch out! God announces to the believers in Babylon, get out now! Go! Now you say, well, how is that going to happen? An angel is going to come down and illuminate the earth. The believers are going to go, whoa! And they are going to flee. They're going to take off during that tribulation period. Again, these are tribulation saints. Come out from among her. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is so exciting. Turn there if you would, or mark it down here right next to verse 4 and 5. It's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 to 21. Verses 26, 19 to 21. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. That is, those who have died, they live in the dust. They don't live in the dust. They're those who have died believing in God. Their bodies reside as dust. You who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. Dew arises. It evaporates. It goes upward. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut the doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, brief period of time. Why? Until the indignation is passed. My friend, the word indignation is translated in the New Testament as wrath. Has nothing to do, by the way, with hell or eternal judgment. It has to do with earthly judgment. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, for their sin. The earth also will disclose her blood no more and will no more cover her slain. That is a wonderful declaration of God delivering his people. Applicable to the rapture? Certainly. Applicable to those who will be living in the time of this Babylonian Empire? Certainly so. Pretty amazing. And we're going to be out of time. We'll end right here with this. You can shut your Bible, and I'll give you all the details about verse 5 next time together. You guys, this is so cool. Verse 5, when it says, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." It's so cool because it's going to take us next week back to Genesis. Watch this. Her sins have reached to heaven. It's a play on words. It's very cool. The word that's used here in the Greek for her sins have reached to heaven is a word that is unique to this verse because it means to lay one brick upon another until the building has reached to the heavens. Isn't that cool? What happened in Babylon with Nimrod? They laid one brick upon another until, remember what they said? We will reach heaven. God comes back and thousands of years later, the Lord comes back with this message and says, "You've been building a long time. Don't think that since the Tower of Babel is just a heap of rubble today that you stopped building it. Oh, no. What you did by symbolism and by building the Tower of Babel back there in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, oh, you've continued it on for thousands and thousands of years. You've been building it brick upon brick all these millennia, and now it has reached the point to where, just as I did in the past," remember it says they built the tower, and what did God say? "Let us," Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "let us," what? "Go down and confound them." God says, "You have been building your sin one brick meticulously upon another, and now it's reached the point where I will come down again and confound you, confound it and its system once and for all." Do you see how what begins in Genesis ends in Revelation? Now, I'm excited about this because I've spent so much time studying it. But I tell you, our God is so good. Nothing new that He reveals. It's just same eternal truth that we need to pay attention to. For us, it becomes new because we catch on to it. But He is eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study that takes a look at Babylon and how it is referred to in Revelation chapter 18. The title of this presentation is En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand. Join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue journeying through this apocalyptic account. Now, if you'd like to hear this broadcast once again, or any recent edition of Real Radio for that matter, visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can listen again or download to hear it at a time that's most convenient for you. In fact, you may also look into becoming a podcast subscriber. There's no charge for any of this, by the way. We simply want to get the word out. realradioactive.org. Contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.